Searches for Bitcoin halving reach a record high, and Magic Eden takes the crown for NFT marketplaces. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to stay ahead of the curve in crypto, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. We have so much on the docket today, but we are going to start as usual with Bitcoin. Firstly, with the spiking interest in the halving, and then with some interesting data on the top five Bitcoin miners. Next, we'll look at Binance finally getting its Dubai crypto license, the confusing case of the Pi network, Magic Eden overtaking Blur to be the leading NFT marketplace, and finally, did Gary Gensler just troll crypto Twitter? Well, the halving is right on our doorstep now, with current estimates at 4 a.m. Saturday the 20th of April UTC. And as it gets closer, naturally interest is rallying, even if Bitcoin's price isn't. One of the best gauges we have for general interest in a topic is Google Trends, and in the past few weeks, searches for Bitcoin halving have been spiking. In fact, the term has already reached a score of 45, which is its highest ever, and it looks unlikely to slow down yet. The top five countries searching the term are interesting too. In fifth, we have Slovenia. In fourth, we have Cyprus. In third, we have Switzerland. Second is the Netherlands. And first is Nigeria. This record-breaking interest in the halving isn't all that surprising given the price rally Bitcoin has seen in recent months. But I believe that we have also never seen a halving event where there has been higher general awareness for Bitcoin, not even in 2020. Now, one of the key areas of focus around the halving event is, of course, the miners. The 50% reduction in rewards for mining firms is a hefty, albeit expected, haircut on revenue. This can be offset in a number of ways, such as selling off some of their Bitcoin for more runway and/or lowering expenses with more efficient machines and so on. But the former of these two is a complicated topic and it impacts the entire of crypto. You may recall from a few weeks ago that there was a report analysing the big mining firms' wallets and found that they weren't selling anywhere near as much BTC as we expected they would. Typically, in the run-up to a halving, the miners usually up their selling. And this is all the more surprising given that the spot Bitcoin ETFs spiked demand, and as a consequence, the price went to a new all-time high before the halving, which is the first time that's happened in Bitcoin's history. But this restraint from miners seems to go deeper than this, and a new report from Bitwise shows what the top five largest Bitcoin mining firms have been up to in quarter one of 2024. Between the five biggest miners, which is Marathon Digital, CleanSpark, Riot Platforms, Cypher Mining, and Bitfarms, they have sold fewer than 2,000 Bitcoins in quarter one. Now that still sounds like a lot, but for comparison, they sold over 7,000 Bitcoin in quarter four of 2023. In fact, the first quarter of this year is a two-year low for selling off their Bitcoin holdings, but why? Well, despite the halving taking a huge bite out of miner incomes, Bitcoin miner revenue saw a 30% increase in the first quarter of this year, and this increased revenue in quarter one of this year is triple the lowest recent quarter, which was quarter four 2022. Bitcoin miner revenue has risen north of $4.5 billion, according to Bitwise. What's more, there is often a misconception over what a 50% reduction in revenue from block rewards really means for miners. That is, the income streams for miners shift and transaction fees become a larger portion of the pie, at least in the months straight after a halving. In fact, Laurent Benayoun, the CEO of Acheron Trading, said, "In dollar terms, it's not obvious that miners would be worse off after the halving. Quite the opposite. The decrease in mining rewards is going to be compensated by an increase in network fees." Nevertheless, the months following the halving, historically, miners have seen reduced revenue, and in the immediate, it can be drastic, even if short-lived. Post-halving Bitcoin mining revenue declined 40% in the month after the 2020 halving, while monthly revenue declined over 51% after the 2016 Bitcoin halving. So, as I discussed yesterday, to steady the ship, we may see miners sell off more than usual post-halving. Marcus Teerlin, the head of research at 10x Research, said in an analyst note recently that miners could liquidate $5 billion worth of BTC in the weeks after the halving, which could weigh heavily on Bitcoin's price for up to 6 months. So when it comes to Bitcoin's price, the time after the halving event is going to be very interesting indeed. A few hours before I recorded this, big news came out of Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. They have now announced that they have finally received a regulatory license in Dubai. The virtual asset service provider license, VASP, came after Changpeng Zhao, CZ, gave up his voting power in the exchange's local entity. According to unnamed people familiar with the matter, this was the final requirement that the regulatory authority had for granting the license. Now, I should make it clear that although CZ has surrendered his voting rights, he is still the ultimate beneficial owner of Binance FZZE's Abu Dhabi-based parent company. Alex Chahed, Binance Dubai's general manager, told Cointelegraph, "Binance identified that the senior leadership of the UAE wanted to establish the region as a focal point for Web3. They are trying to diversify away from fossil fuels, and they see crypto as a great driver for doing so." This full VASP license is being called a rare regulatory win for Binance. Have you ever heard of the Pi Network app? I'll admit, although I'd seen the name from time to time, I hadn't much of a sense of what it did or what it was, and never a cause to write about it, let alone interact with it. Now, it's becoming something of a curious, if not contentious, project. In a recent announcement, the Pi team said that the Pi Network app has reached more than 10 million users that have verified their identities with the Know Your Customer, KYC, process. The app has been available since 2019, and in 2021, a Vietnamese media outlet had it at number 22 in the most downloaded iOS apps in Vietnam. The Pi Network app is advertised as the first digital currency you can mine on your phone, and users can produce Pi tokens by pushing a button in the app each day. The term mining for that feels a bit loose, but that is the tip of the iceberg on why some are skeptical about this project. As it stands, the Pi token cannot be traded between wallets or swapped for fiat currencies, and what's more, the mainnet isn't even open yet. The network is closed. The Pi team called this unconventional and novel, but worth it as it enabled utilities building on the platform and KYC processing of millions of our community members to help the community further build a robust network for the benefit of the whole community before we launch the open network. The open network, or mainnet, is said to be coming, which will bring with it the ability to trade the Pi tokens, but first, milestones need to be reached, one of which is apparently 15 million KYC'd users, which is another 5 million more. So lately, the Pi Network app has been seeing a little bit more interest, but some are not convinced of the project's worth. AI Multiple, a business analytics platform, claimed that Pi may bring no value to users. AI Multiple's analyst, Jem Dilmagani, stated, "We don't expect anyone except the founders to benefit from Pi Network in a significant way." He says that's because it works like a direct selling or affiliate marketing system, promising future rewards to users for bringing in new users. Dilmagani believes the affiliate marketing system has driven traffic which the founders have used to sell advertising. Crypto veterans will naturally be suspicious of these closed networks, given that there are some infamous examples that never made it to an open network. But what do you think? Share your thoughts with us on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X and @RKBags on Warpcast. I discussed yesterday the curious situation with art NFTs and how the floor price has tanked for many blue chip collections, but that the space is anything but dead. Well, there is now more evidence of this as an interesting shift has happened with marketplaces. Yesterday, CoinGecko published its Quarter 1 2024 report, and it showed that in March, Magic Eden passed Blur as the leading NFT marketplace. Magic Eden's NFT trading volume spiked 194.4% in March to $756.5 million, which has completely eclipsed Blur that increased slightly to $530.4 million. This is the sixth month in a row that Magic Eden increased its trading volume. Another interesting finding is that the crypto exchange OKX has seen its own NFT marketplace shoot up to third place, knocking OpenSea off of the podium. This really happened in quarter four of 2023, and it came primarily as a result of OKX capitalizing on the Ordinals craze in December that has just seen another slight uptick in March. However, OKX has lost much of its Bitcoin NFT trading volume to Magic Eden, which is a big part of how Magic Eden has taken the crown. Overall, NFT trading volumes across the top 10 marketplaces amounted to $4.7 billion in quarter one 2024, which is a massive 51.6% increase over quarter four of last year. So the question is it comeback season for NFTs? Like him or loathe him, I believe the SEC chair, Gary Gensler, yesterday pulled off one of the best trolls of the year. Gensler posted on X yesterday, "It's been an honor to serve as SEC chair. Over the past 3 years, I've seen firsthand how incredible the staff at the SEC serve investors and issuers alike." A thread. This thread then details enforcement actions, penalties, and general achievements during his time, leading most readers to believe that Gensler was retiring or at least stepping down as SEC chair. But as you scroll to the bottom of the thread, the final post reads, "And we're not done." The comments all voiced their disappointment with replies like, "Was excited for a second, thought you'd resigned," which received twice the number of likes that the original post did. Some think that this was accidentally misleading, but I think that credit where credit's due, it was a pretty well-executed troll. That is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. And if you're on Warpcast, search for the channel RNC. Okay, have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.